vineyards are kind of rare here in southwest Kansas. And we don't know very much about vineyards and grapevines and all that is necessary to produce wine. But we do know a lot about agriculture. And we know that when you plant a crop, you're looking for a harvest. And if the harvest don't come, you're in trouble. Or if you plant wheat, you don't want to harvest rye. You want to harvest wheat. The first story today, or the first reading, is a parable in which God is saying that his vineyard was the Jewish people. And he had expected a rich harvest from them. He had expected a harvest of justice, a harvest of righteousness. And yet, what he got was the opposite of that. And so he says in that passage, I'm going to destroy this vineyard. And so it happened. About 580 years before the time of Christ, Jerusalem was destroyed. It was overrun. Its buildings were burnt. And its leading people were taken in exile to what is now Baghdad, then Babylon. And they stayed there for 80-some years. The second reading is another story about a vineyard. This time, Jesus is confronting the leaders of the Jewish people. And he is saying to them that they are producing a harvest, but it's not the harvest that God wanted. They're not returning to God what they should be returning. And there's a very important line in there where Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. My brothers and sisters, we, the church, are that people. God is looking for a harvest from us. Now you might want to say, well, God's looking for it from the church, so I'm off the hook. But we are the church. And if the church is to produce the harvest that God wants of us, the harvest of goodness and righteousness, then you and I are responsible, every one of us. Because the only way the church produces its harvest is through the efforts of each member of the church. We are responsible to produce the harvest that God is looking for. And in order to do that, each one of us must discipline ourselves. You know, it's very easy for us to say, oh, well, worry about it later, or let somebody else do it. But no, God is looking for a harvest from you and I. And you and I must begin to ask ourselves deeply and sincerely, what is it that God wants from us? And am I contributing to that great harvest? In the second reading, at the end, Paul says something important. He says, keep on doing what you learned and received and heard and seen in me. In other words, St. Paul is setting himself up as a model and an example. He is saying, do what you have seen me do, and do what you have heard me teach. And that admonition is as relevant today as it was in the time that Paul wrote it. Paul was the great apostle. And he sets out for us in his writings how we are to live the Christian life. If you read his writings, he tells us clearly what we are to do and what we are not to do. If you want to find that summarized, I would recommend you read his letter to the Galatians. He is very clear. We are to live lives of unity. Paul worried much about the unity of the church. Now, let me find another word there. What he really is asking of us then is to do whatever we can to avoid divisions. He is asking us to live in love and compassion and care for one another. He is asking us to be generous. He is telling us we must live lives of faith, trusting not in our own resources, but trusting in the care of our God. We are to live lives of chastity and truthfulness. We are not to live lives of drunkenness. We are not to live lives of irresponsibility. We are not to live lives of licentiousness. But we are to live in the way Paul has taught us. And if we do that, we will bear that abundant harvest that God is asking of his church. I want to close with a question, and I'll pause a little longer to give us time to ponder that question. Am I, each one of us, am I producing the harvest that God is seeking? When God looks at my life, is he finding what he wants to find? Let us ponder that for a minute.